Hello, and welcome to Art Unlocked, the podcast that helps GCSE art and design students get the marks they deserve. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most exciting and challenging topics on the OCR specification, installation art. Whether you're just starting your project or putting the finishing touches on your portfolio, this episode is packed with everything you need to know. So grab your sketchbook, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Installation art sits within component 2.4 of the OCR GCSE art and design specification. It's a topic that asks you to think beyond the canvas, beyond the sculpture plinth, and beyond the gallery wall. Installation art is about transforming entire spaces, making the room itself part of the artwork. It's immersive, it's conceptual, and when done well, it's absolutely breathtaking. And the really exciting thing? You get to make one yourself. Let's start with the big picture. What actually is installation art? At its core, installation art is a three-dimensional, site-specific artwork that transforms the viewer's perception of a space. The key word there is site-specific, meaning the work is designed for and responds to a particular location. It's not just a sculpture you could pick up and move anywhere, it belongs to its space. The space is part of the meaning. Think about walking into a room and suddenly feeling like you're standing inside a cloud, or surrounded by thousands of glowing dots stretching to infinity, or confronted by the ghostly cast of an entire house interior. That's the power of installation art. It doesn't just ask you to look at something. It asks you to experience it, feel it, and think about it. Now let's talk about the practitioners you absolutely need to know for this topic. These are the artists whose work should be informing your own practice. First up, Yayoi Kusama. Born in Japan in 1929, Kusama is arguably the most famous installation artist in the world right now. Her infinity mirror rooms are legendary, mirrored chambers filled with hanging lights or polka dots that appear to stretch on forever. Her work explores themes of infinity, self-obliteration, and psychological anxiety. For your portfolio, what's brilliant about Kusama is that she gives you a really clear example of how repetition, mirror surfaces, and controlled lighting can completely alter a viewer's sense of space and scale. When you analyze her work, don't just say, "It looks cool." Talk about how the mirrored surfaces create the illusion of infinite depth, how the repetition of dots produces a disorienting, immersive effect, and how the viewer becomes part of the artwork itself. That's the level of analysis that earns you marks under AO1. Next, Ólafur Eliasson. This Danish-Icelandic artist is a master of using natural phenomena, light, water, mist, temperature, to create phenomenological experiences. His most famous installation is The Weather Project, shown at Tate Modern in 2003. He filled the enormous turbine hall with a giant artificial sun made from hundreds of monofrequency lamps and covered the ceiling with mirrors so visitors could see themselves reflected above. Thousands of people came and lay on the floor staring up at this artificial sun. It was extraordinary. Eliasson's work is perfect for exploring how atmospheric conditions, light quality, temperature, humidity can be manipulated to alter mood and perception. When you reference him in your portfolio annotations, use words like phenomenological, atmospheric, and sensory engagement. Third, Rachel Whitereed. Whitereed is a British sculptor and installation artist who works with negative space. She casts the spaces inside and around objects rather than the objects themselves. Her work Ghost casts the interior of an entire Victorian living room in plaster. Her outdoor workhouse casts the interior of a terraced house in concrete before it was demolished. Whitereed's work is deeply concerned with memory, absence, and the traces that lives leave behind. For your portfolio, she's brilliant if you're working with themes of memory, domestic space, or the uncanny. Her approach also demonstrates how material choice, plaster, concrete, resin, carries conceptual meaning. Other practitioners worth knowing include Bruce Nauman, who used neon text and video in claustrophobic corridor installations to create psychological unease. Ilya and Emilia Kabakov, whose room installations recreate Soviet-era domestic spaces to explore collective memory, and Tino Segal, who creates installations using only human presence and interaction, no objects at all. Now let's move on to the core concepts you need to understand and use in your work and annotations. Site specificity is the most fundamental concept. A site-specific installation is designed in direct response to the physical, historical, or cultural characteristics of a particular location. The space isn't just a container for the artwork, it's an active ingredient. When you're planning your installation, ask yourself, what is specific about this space? What are its dimensions, its light sources, its history, its atmosphere? How can your work respond to and activate those qualities? Immersion is the next key concept. An immersive installation surrounds the viewer. It envelops them in a total sensory environment. This is different from looking at a painting on a wall. The viewer is inside the work. Think about how you can use the full volume of your space, floor, ceiling, walls, and the air in between, to create an immersive experience. Sensory engagement refers to how an installation activates the viewer's senses beyond just sight. Sound, touch, smell, temperature, and even taste can all be incorporated. Eliasson often uses temperature and mist. Some artists use scent. Even the sound of footsteps on different floor materials can be part of the work. The viewer's journey is a concept that examiners love to see candidates address. This means thinking about how the audience moves through and interacts with your installation. Where do they enter? What do they see first? How does their experience change as they move through the space? Is there a prescribed route, or are they free to wander? Documenting this intended journey in your portfolio, through floor plans, annotated photographs, and written reflections, is essential for AO3. Ephemerality is another important concept. Many installations are temporary. They exist for a limited time and then are dismantled. This means documentation is crucial. High-quality photographs taken from multiple angles under controlled lighting are your evidence of the final outcome for AO4. Video walkthroughs are even better if you can manage them. Let's talk about technical vocabulary. These are the terms you must use in your annotations and any written responses. Site-specific, immersive, phenomenological, sensory engagement, atmospheric, spatial activation, maquette, elevation drawing, floor plan, negative space, ephemerality, viewer agency, haptic, that means relating to the sense of touch, liminal, meaning a threshold or transitional space, uncanny, a feeling of familiar strangeness. Now, let's move into exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. The single biggest mistake, and I cannot stress this enough, is producing a discrete sculpture placed in a corner rather than activating the entire space. If your installation only occupies one small part of the room and leaves the rest untouched, it is not functioning as an installation. It's just a sculpture. You need to think about the whole space, every wall, the ceiling, the floor, the light, the sound. Even if your budget is limited, you can use projection, string, fabric, or reflected light to extend your work throughout the space. The second major mistake is superficial engagement with sources. Candidates who simply paste images of Kusama or Eliasson into their sketchbooks without analyzing them will not access the higher mark bands. You need to analyze the mechanical and sensory techniques the artist uses. How does Kusama create the illusion of infinity? What specific lighting equipment does Eliasson use? How does Weiderede's choice of casting material affect the meaning of the work? That level of analytical depth is what earns marks under AO1. Third, neglecting to document the process thoroughly. Your maquettes, floor plans, elevation drawings, and material tests are not just preparation, they are assessed work in their own right under AO3. A well-annotated maquette that shows you testing different lighting positions or a floor plan that maps the viewer's intended journey demonstrates rigorous spatial thinking. Don't skip this stage. Fourth, forgetting health and safety. This might sound boring, but OCR examiners do look for evidence that you've considered the safety implications of your installation. If you're using electrical lighting, trailing cables need to be managed. If you're using suspended objects, they need to be safely secured. If you're using chemicals or unusual materials, cost considerations apply. A brief risk assessment in your portfolio shows maturity and professionalism. Now for some quick-fire recall questions. Cover up your notes and try to answer these from memory. Question 1. Name 3 key practitioners associated with installation art and identify 1 key work by each. You should be able to say Yayoi Kusama, Infinity Mirror Rooms, Olafur Eliasson, The Weather Project, Rachel Weiderede, House or Ghost. Question 2. What does site-specific mean? It means the work is designed in direct response to the characteristics of a particular location. The space is an active part of the artwork's meaning. Question 3. What are the 4 assessment objectives for OCR GCSE Art and Design, and what percentage does each carry? AO1 is develop, researching and developing ideas through contextual and cultural sources, 25%. AO2 is experiment, exploring and selecting appropriate resources, media, materials, techniques, and processes, 25%. AO3 is record, recording ideas, observations, and insights relevant to intentions, 25%. AO4 is present, presenting a personal and meaningful response that realizes intentions, 25%. Question 4. What is a maquette and why is it important for installation art? A maquette is a small-scale, three-dimensional model of your planned installation. It's important because it allows you to test spatial relationships, lighting effects, and material combinations before committing to full-scale fabrication. It's also assessed evidence for AO3. Question 5. What is the difference between immersion and site specificity? Site specificity refers to the relationship between the work and its location. Immersion refers to the quality of the viewer's experience, being surrounded by and enveloped within the work. And finally, let's bring it all together with a quick summary and some final advice. Installation art is one of the most rewarding topics on the OCR specification because it gives you genuine creative freedom. You're not just making a painting or a sculpture, you're designing an entire experience for another person. That's a remarkable thing to do. To succeed, remember these key principles. First, think spatially from the very beginning. Your installation must activate the whole space, not just part of it. Second, research your practitioners analytically. Understand the techniques they use and how those techniques create meaning. Third, document everything. Your maquettes, floor plans, material tests, and process photographs are all assessed. Fourth, use the vocabulary, site-specific, immersive, phenomenological, sensory engagement in your annotations. Fifth, photograph your final installation professionally from multiple angles under controlled lighting. This is your evidence for AO4, and it needs to be excellent. You've got this. Installation art is challenging, but it's also genuinely exciting. The moment a viewer walks into a space, you've transformed and feel something. That's what art is for. Thanks for listening to Art Unlocked. Good luck with your project, and I'll see you in the next episode.